So I'm going to share, that sounds like it. I'm going to talk this morning about listening in a world of noise. So I would suggest that you just check your phone for a moment, that you see that it's on airplane mode, that it's muted or something, because if it rings, it's kind of one of those messages that it's like, it's just, it's not going to go well, you know. So as I was preparing this, Lynn, I was actually thinking of you yesterday, and I was thinking, I don't know why I'm sharing on this. I actually need to, Lynn to share it, and I need to listen. But maybe in sharing about it, it will remind me of the work that I have to do. So let me read to you from Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we'll just talk about listening in a world of noise. So Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 1 says, "These are the commands, the decrees, and the laws the Lord your God has directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them," my children have said they're not having children, so that's something to pray about. Anyhow, "so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Deuteronomy chapter 6, you may have read that in the Gospels in some places, Jesus quoting it. "These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." So listening, in a sense, there's a part of listening that is inherent to creation. Although animals listen, and I was just thinking of those beautiful pictures of the kudu, you know, when, you know, if you're driving in the bush and you see a kudu, and the kudu hears you before you do, and they turn and their ears are up. So animals listen. All of creation, I think it's inherent to creation, listening. But there's something about listening and humanity that is unique to us, made in the image of God. And so, I mean, I walk almost daily past a deaf school. And thankfully, I mean, we're not trying to preach and do sign language or something like that. But so although I'm talking to most of you who are not audio impaired, except for me, probably, but I think this is something that although we'll talk about listening with our ears, it's a lot more than that. It's about listening in our hearts, with our minds, with all of our being. And that is, in actual fact, what is being spoken about in Scripture, and particularly in Deuteronomy as well. So you'll recall, like whether we go through Mark or Matthew, the different accounts of Jesus calling people, calling disciples to follow him. I mean, Jesus preached and he went on his mission, but one of the unique things that he did is that he called people to follow him. And discipleship by nature is answering a call. It's not about ministry or different gifts or offices or anything like that. It's inherent to us as believers. We are those who are called. So calling presupposes Jesus speaking, calling us by name. There's the strong sense that we have that he calls each of us by name. He sees us and he calls us. And so that also presupposes a response that we hear. And I was going to get into this morning. I might follow up on it next week. But inherent to the call and the hearing and the listening is a call to respond. We can't separate that out. It is a call to hear, O Israel, to listen to Jesus, to follow him and to obey him. That is what is meant by call. The problem is that we live in a world that is just awash with noise. I mean, the world that we live in is a noisy world. Just is. I was listening to, listening in actual fact, to some different voices, and they quoted a book called Decibel Hell. And I don't have the author's name, I could look it up, but they were talking about the fact that decibel hell and the noise that we live in affects our sleep. It affects our heart condition physically, and it causes stress. That the noise that is inherent in most cities releases stress hormones that also is related to mental illness. And studies have been shown on families that live near airports, and as they've studied the children there, that the noise of living near an airport impacts children particularly in terms of stress and then psychological ramifications. That has even been traced to affecting their reading levels. It's just interesting that the impact of noise on children and their ability to read, like other children in the class that live in different places. They say that, and we always quote statistics in the US because, well, they're just easier to get. I don't know if ours are worse or better, but there are 30 million people in the US that are exposed to hazardous sound levels at work every day. So apparently 85 decibels that continually been exposed to 85 decibels and over is what causes damage to your hearing. And they say that most people who have issues with their hearing, it's not genetic or inherent or anything like that. It's basically the noise that we've been exposed to has damaged our hearing. I am an exception. My hearing was damaged due to a virus, so I blame Jesus for that, not the noise. That's just another issue completely. Some baggage, you can pray for me afterwards. So traffic, a noisy road or a highway. So 85 decibels and above begins to cause damage, okay? So traffic, noisy road, I don't know, Bayers, Jan Smuts, that kind of thing, 95 decibels. Think of those people that are begging, selling things, selling newspapers, trying, dancing. The kids that do their jigs on the road to try earn money at robots. 95 decibels. I think where we live, it's probably 195, but that's my own personal thing. Cars hooting. Again, this is not taxis, so you would need to multiply that. Cars hooting, 119 decibels. Personally, taxis, 219, but again, it's unconfirmed. You know, jackhammers, so, I've been walking past and they've been digging and, digging up the road on the one route that I walk past. And they say that is about 130 decibels. So Roger would be able to tell you all of these different and all of the safety things that people are meant to have, and how often, you know. So maybe there's a guy using a jackhammer and there's five people working around it. None of them have got protective gear on and things like that. So yeah, 85 decibels is the threshold. Jackhammer, digging up roads, those stomping things, 130 decibels. Sirens, Lord help us, 140 decibels. Lawnmower, 80 decibels, except my neighbor. Okay, because my neighbors decided to use a different garden service, it's just a new thing, and they come in with those, you know, those drum, those old, it's like a drum lawnmower, and it's either a petrol or a diesel thing, because when he changed, I was like, oh my word, that is not a lawn, that's a helicopter. Like, literally, I was like, what is landing in the neighborhood? Bev's nodding. It's like, so his lawnmower, 180 decibels. The rest of yours, probably 80. Leaf blowers, save me, Jesus. I personally, there are no leaf blowers in heaven, and there shouldn't be on earth at the moment. My prayer, when I pray the Lord's Prayer, let your kingdom come, let your, it is about leaf blowers. Okay, my dad had this thing. My father used to like see specials, you know, and then he would go and he'd see a special and he'd go and he'd buy something for my brother and my sister and I. He bought us all leaf blowers one year. There was some deal on leaf blowers. Now I come home, there's a leaf blower, okay? And fortunately, before Roger sorted out our wall, I mean, you remember that debacle, they broke in and they stole our leaf blower. I was like... So the gardener's like, when are we getting a new leaf blower? And I'm like, there are two things here. Firstly, the unemployment in this country. There are people that come and they sell those little brooms, you know, the straw brooms. I buy them like Smarties, okay? And he gets no, he's very upset with me. So my gardener arrived one day. He brought a leaf blower to my house. I don't know, it's like he's, because he works at the other neighbor, then he arrives on the leaf, because we have lots of leaves, okay? It's like, so he brought a leaf, I'm like, no, these people in the street, we need to help them, and here's a broom. Mostly, that's all rubbish. It's like, I hate leaf blowers. They are terrible, terrible things. In actual fact, there are articles written about the damage that leaf blowers do to the environment. So I can send you those, or Megan will have all the statistics. Okay, take a deep breath. I'm going to share one more. Just breathe. Generators. Yeah. So one of the things that last year, you know, particularly in winter when we have this thing of, you know, load shedding is bad and that kind of thing, I used to sit there and I thought, you know that we've been load shed because there's someone down at the bottom of our road that has an automatic switch, and you just hear the generator come on. So before we know that you can't boil a kettle, you hear a generator. And a very good friend of mine that Roger also worked on his house has built this lovely little fire pit at the bottom of his garden, has friends round in that. And subsequent to your building, they've developed the two properties behind them. And this guy put in a generator for both properties. This is like something that you find at Crestel or something like that. So I'm sitting at his house and there's load shedding and this generator goes on. I was like, holy moly, that is just obscene. That is not one, this is like an industrial level generator for these two big houses that go, and he's not, and Peter Gallagher says to me, he said, you know, they put in a generator at Sparrow and that, and you've got these generator blankets and you can clad them and, you know, dampen the noise and everything like that. So there's been times when I've thought, oh, load shedding is bad, we need a generator. And one of the main reasons, aside from the cost and the petrol and the diesel and everything, is like, I would rather have no lights and peace and quiet than have a generator, and now I'm trying to work with this generator on. Nah, it's just a personal thing. So in actual fact, there are Lee will be able to tell you, I don't know how much you've looked at this, but there are sensory integration questionnaires and surveys that you can do where each of us is affected differently by touch, space, noise, I don't know what all the other things are, but things like that, you know, and it's like, so different people are more sensitive to space, which I've always known that's an issue for, we go into schools, Jackie, you know, you go into schools and people pack the chairs, you know, so they put chairs out, there's not an aisle on the side, and the chair in front is like this, you know, and you're sitting, I mean, it just freaks me out. So my personal, like the pandemic, thank goodness Delinda isn't here this morning, like social distancing in queues, I'm like, the kingdom has come. Just so thankful, okay? And I want, personally, I would like to vote for someone who imposes that for the rest of the world. It's like, you stand in a queue, just stand a meter and a half behind me. You know, do you ever stand in a queue? This is going to be a three-Sunday sermon, the way I'm doing this. Have you ever stood in a queue, and there's a person in front of you, and they move, and you like, okay, great, now there's a proper distance between the person in front of me, and the person behind you moves forward. Have you ever had that? You're standing there, and the person in front of you moves, and I'm like, some more space. And the person behind you moves closer, and I'm like, would you like to get in my pocket? And there. So I know that like space is good for me. We could speak this morning, and Megan could speak to it. We could talk about the animal kingdom. How noise has affected animals, and there's statistics on grasshoppers. And then you have whales that are beaching because of sonars and all kinds of things. So in terms of the ocean, and the noise of humanity has a huge impact on creation. The word hear. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. The Lord, love the Lord your God with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And the Hebrew word there, hear, means to perceive. So again, it's not just, it's about, it's to perceive, to understand, to listen. And what we'll share next week, to obey. Quite fascinating. So we need, in a world drowning in noise, in a world that we have trained ourselves to listen to alarm clocks, cell phones, televisions, social media, whatever, we need to relearn what it is to listen to the Word of God. Hear, O Israel. Follow my commands. Hear my commands. Obey my commands. Talk about them when you walk, when you sit down, when you wake up in the morning, when you go to sleep. What we should be hearing is the word of the Lord. So I shared last week about scripture. I often share about this. I won't go into too much this morning. But the challenges for every stage of our life, whatever phase or stage you're in, how can you hear God's word daily? What would help you to hear his word? So I'm in a stage at the moment that I'm listening to scripture. I listen to talks, I listen to podcasts, you know, things like that. But it's become more of my intake of scripture, if I can put it like that, is not as much reading as it was this time last year. I'm listening. And there's all kinds of things. I said some of it last week, but some of it is just practical. There's time in the car again. I'm in the car, but more than I was a few months ago. But there's also time walking, or time when I'm by myself, or time when I'm distracted, where For me, I've just, you know, I find stuff. But there are so many free versions of the Bible on the internet. The ESV is free in all over the place, whether you have a Samsung or an iPhone or whatever. To download it as individual MP3s or a complete MP3 or whatever file you need, it's very easy. And so sometimes I just go, well, I'm going to listen to Exodus. You know, let me, and because now it's like I'm not sitting reading and I can walk or drive or just wander around my garden. You can listen to 10, 20 chapters, which maybe I was struggling to actually sit still and read. So that for me has become something that has just become a lot easier. It's just easier for me. But the question is, what do you need to hear his word on a daily basis? And one of the things I could refer to more was the talk that Lynn did just on Lectio Divina. There's a different phrase for it, but Lectio Divina of reading scripture in a way that helps you listen to what the text is saying. And so for some of us that know different stories and different texts, and what happens with me is I read and then my mind just flits over it because I know the story. So like almost uncontrollably, my eyes just twitch over lines. And so the practice of Lectio Divina, or a quiet or close reading, or whatever Lynn called it, helps you to slow down and to take a text and say, what is God saying to me today? So maybe I must, it's up on the website, I'll find a link and share it again, and perhaps that could be helpful to you. So to talk about, I'm going to run out of time this morning, but let me talk about cultivating attentiveness and the art of listening. There's that amazing, famous passage in 1 Kings chapter 19 where the Lord said, go and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. I would love to see a replay of that, eh? One day I'm going to say, look, can you show me that? I just want to see the video of that. The Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face. I don't know if he pulled it this way or that way. And he went out and he stood at the mouth of the cave. The Lord was in the whisper, not the fire or the wind or the earthquake. He was in the whisper. So we live, and I struggle with this, in a world of distraction. We are so easily distracted. And I won't share some of those statistics today. But it's a rare thing. It is a very, very rare thing to be fully present in one place. I don't know if you find that, but in a conversation, in a meeting, we all have cell phones with us and iPads and things like that. You can be having a conversation with someone and they, hang on, just someone messaged me, or you can be walking. It's very rare to be fully present in one place. And I think we've lost something there. A.J. Sherrill, in his book that I've quoted to you before, says, the noise of life splinters our attention and robs us of the present moment. I loved the way he said that. The noise of life, it splinters our attention and it robs us of the present moment. So Madame Guyon in the 18th century, she was one of these French 18th century mystics. And she has a book, again, so I looked at it because I got distracted, and it's pretty much, Bev's laughing. I'm the only person who, so I read, and then I see the footnotes of something quoted. You know, I don't know if you do this, Bridget. So then I read the footnote, and then it quotes a book, and then I go into my phone. What if I can find the book? So every time I read a book, I have a list of 20 books that I also want to read, okay? It's just distraction. It really is. It's like, that's me, okay? So she was talking about this thing about, so she wrote about the revolution of silence in her prayer life. 18th century, this is like in France. She wrote to her followers, said she's experienced a revolution of silence in prayer and wanted her followers to understand what silence would bring in terms of their relationship with God. Incredible. I'll show you where you can get the audio book. It's 2.5 hours. I haven't listened to it. It's at the bottom of a very long list of distraction. So she longed to see those young in the faith make a transition from anxious striving to stillness and pure trust in God. Her instruction was to cultivate a prayer life that was more passive than active, more still than busy, more listening than speaking. So all of the things I wanted to share, but it's 4:15. I'll sum this up in a few minutes. What astounds me is that within the practices, the rhythms of ancient classic Christianity, spiritual disciplines or spiritual rhythms, you always find, whether it's Alexander's List, Trevor Hudson's List, whatever, Dallas Willard, Richard Foster, key to all of them is silence and solitude. Ruth Haley Barton, another amazing book, Sacred Rhythms. If you have an Audible account, it's free on Audible. The most incredible, I walked and listened to her book, and what she says about how solitude and silence just transformed her prayer life and her relationship. She could have been quoting Madame Guyon. She doesn't quote her at all, doesn't even mention her. But just the effect that it had on her. And these are rhythms and practices that have been a part of the church for centuries, mostly lost since the modern world, except to a few streams of the church. Most of us charismatic Pentecostal vineyard types are very opposed to them. The biggest resistance Alexander ever had to a silent pastor's retreat that I was a part of was the pastors, vineyard pastors. They were like, we had a talk. And the discipline that those of my ilk struggle with the most, the discipline of silence. And Dallas Willard is like, and that is what you need. Preachers are terrible at it. Ask my wife. So I'm going to wrap all this up and leave you with one suggestion. And again, I'm ashamed to share it with Lynn here because I've learnt it mostly from Lynn and I'm still learning it now. So silence and solitude is one of the rhythms or the practices is called contemplative prayer or centering prayer. And if you'd like to know more about it, don't talk to me because I'm learning. Talk to Lynn. Okay. And centering prayer is something that I'm trying almost on a daily basis. I have a reminder on my phone, an alarm that goes off. Okay. There's apps, there's different apps that you can use and things like that. But it's to have in a day, 24 hours, Wayne. And the practice is just simply to, so firstly, psychologically, everyone's talking about all these things, mindfulness and what, I'm not talking about that. There's all kinds of benefits to it. But think of Madame Guyon. Think of Ruth Haley Barton, Willard, Foster and them, saying, this can transform your prayer life. The word of the Lord is present to yourself, and all the anxiety and activity and angst, and then be present to the Lord, because He's here. So I would suggest, I'll carry on, share this with you next week. I would make a suggestion that you try practice. Just 10 minutes. Bev wishes I would do it for 30 minutes. Okay? 10 minutes. Just to be still. Just to be quiet. Just to be attentive to your heart. And then what Lynn teaches and others is that it's helpful to have a prayer word. And the one guy, was it Freeman that taught at Mosaic the one year? Lawrence Freeman, was it Lawrence? At the conversations, he used the word Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus. So every time, so you use that word as a something just to bring you back. So when you hear a noise, the dog, the leaf blower, whatever, you just, in your mind, or audibly, say Maranatha to bring you back to where you are and to be present with Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. The other one that I like is you can peace, you can use the word Jesus, you can, I don't know, use butterfly, I don't, whatever, you know. But the other one that I love is just shalom, the Hebrew word shalom. And, I mean, that has a whole lot of meaning to me. And just to allow that word to bring me back and to focus me on Yahweh, on hear, O Israel, what He's saying to me. Just to do, and then you can read scripture beforehand, you can journal, it opens up all kinds of things. And that's why I have to go to Unceased Friday afternoon and other things, because I'm shocking at it. But when I go, and then I can't talk because she's talking, and then she says, well, now you have to shut up. So it's good for me, because I find so many excuses. Someone at the gate, there's, let me just check my email, let me just, like, you know. So I get so easily just, so when I do it with other people, it's such, and then I go every single time. We do it as ministers. We have different times that we at Mosaic and things like this. I go away and I go, I should do this for an hour a day. Imagine what a nicer person I would be. But my challenge, and please don't share this with Jimmy, but it's to do it for 10 minutes. It's so hard. And yet, throughout Scripture is the call, hear, O Israel, listen, be attentive to the word of the Lord. We hear everything. I can hear a dog barking three houses away. Just leave it. Be like, you notice it. Linway says that's helped me tremendously. Notice it. But then use, just come back. Just leave it. You can't do anything about it. Just come back. Shalom. Be with Jesus. So don't quote me. Quote Madame Guyon. this can transform your relationship with God and your prayer life. And in the midst of, if I almost want to say, if we live in a city, surely we desperately need this. Desperately. I don't get to walk on a farm or somewhere in the middle of the world and there's no noise but nature every day. So how much more do I need this? Let's close in prayer. The tea's going to be cold. So most of all, Father, more than the noise of the aeroplane, most of all what we struggle with is the noise that we have inside of us. The anxiety, the busyness, just the constant motion, calls and cell phones and WhatsApps. And more than even that noise, the noise that we feel that we need to respond to, the noise that causes us to want to react, gives us meaning. And so, Father, our confession this morning and our confession and our cry is teach us again what it is to hear the voice of the Lord, to be still, and to hear is your command to your people, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one.